Shri Bhakti Vedanta Ki Grantha Raja Srima Bhagavatam Ki Giriraj Maharaj Ki Renitai Gopremana. Okay. So we'll continue with the ninth chapter of the seventh canto. So what has happened in the ninth chapter so far? He's offering special prayers to Lord Nisringhadev. Now tonight we're going to go from verses 41 to 55 to finish the chapter, and we'll hear about many special prayers which are offered by Prahlad Maharaj, especially in regards to the mood and the mission of one who is in the Krishna consciousness movement. What is his attitude towards delivering the fallen conditioned souls from the ocean of birth and death? Okay, so we shall begin with verse 41. And we'll go to verse 50. My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. Okay, so, Amal, would you like to read the purport?
Prahlad Maharaj, a true Vaishnava, prays to the Lord not only for himself, but for all other suffering living entities. There are two classes of Vaishnavas, the Bhajanandis and the Goshanandis. The Bhajanandis worship the Lord only for their own personal benefit. But the Goshanandis try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. Fools who cannot perceive repeated birth and death and other miseries of materialistic life cannot be sure of what will happen to them in their next life. Indeed, these foolish, materially contaminated rascals have manufactured an irresponsible way of life that does not consider the next life. They do not know that according to one's own activities, one receives a body selected from 8,400,000 species. These rascals have been described in Bhagavad Gita as Dushkritana Mulha. Non-devotees, those who are not Krishna conscious, must engage in sinful activities, and therefore they are Mulhas, fools and rascals. They are such fools that they do not know what will happen to them in their next life. Although they see varieties of living creatures eating abominable things, pigs eating stool, crocodiles eating all kind of flesh, and so on, they do not realize that they themselves, because of their practice of eating all kind of nonsense in this life, will be destined to eat the most abominable things in their next life. A Vaishnava is always afraid of such an abominable life. And to free himself from such horrible condition, he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate to them, and therefore he appears for their benefit. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline of religion practice, poor descendant of Bharata and predominant rise in religion, at that time I descend myself. The Lord is always ready to help the fallen soul, but because they are fools and rascals, they do not take to Krishna consciousness and abide by the instructions of Krishna. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Lord Krishna, he comes as a devotee to preach the Krishna consciousness movement. Yare dekhe tare kaha Krishna upadesh. One must therefore become a sincere servant of Krishna. Samara Gyaya Guru Hai Tara Yilesh. One should become a guru and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world simply by preaching the teaching of Bhagavad Gita.
So what are the points in the opening paragraph? Any points?
It is going to give the mode of Goswami Anandi as compared to Vrajanandi. And Prabhupada emphasized even if you know little bit, you should start preaching. You should preach whatever you know.
Mm.
Prabhupada once asked one child who is
Saraswati.
Who is Krishna, and she said she is the Supreme Person of God, and Prabhupada said she knows who Krishna is. So one should preach whatever limited knowledge one has.
Yeah, she would approach adults and she would say, who is Krishna? And then they would say, you tell me, and then she would say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada said that is our preaching. Whatever we know, then we preach. Like that. So in our line, there are two types of devotees. One is called Bhajananandi. The other one is called Goshtyanandi. So our tradition is primarily, principally, Goshtyanandi. And Srila Prabhupada himself was especially a Goshtyanandi, which means a preacher. But there are Bhajananandis within our Pacific succession, prominent personalities, Gaukashodas Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. These are prominent persons in our line. So Bhajananandi is there. And Prabhupada writes in his books, he encourages devotees who have that capacity and inclination, they can practice the Bhajananandi lifestyle. They can go to Vrindavan, spend extra time in Vrindavan, and chant extra rounds. But you have to have the adhika. Adhika means the qualification. If your mind is simply meditating upon sense gratification, in other words, if you try to go to the holy dham and chant extra rounds prematurely, your mind will rebel and it will simply contemplate sense gratification, and you'll meditate upon women and money, or men and money, according to your gender. So for most of us, we're encouraged to be a Goshtyanandi. Goshtyanandi means that we are preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement. So our duty is to spread Krishna consciousness for others, and we pray to the Bhajananandis, and we take inspiration from the Bhajananandis. The Bhajananandis give us inspiration to spread Krishna consciousness. Just like Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, he was inspired to spread Krishna consciousness from the lotus feet, the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, Gaukashodas Babaji Maharaj, who blessed him to spread Krishna consciousness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was similarly blessed and inspired by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So it is there in our tradition. It is not that it's not bona fide or it's bogus or anything. No, it's there. But you have to be qualified. For most of us, it is easier to engage ourselves in practical devotional service. That's what Prabhupada mentions in this section. So he says that we should be Goshtyanandi, and we should follow his example primarily of preaching Krishna consciousness. Now Prabhupada, he lectured on the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj more than any other section of the Bhagavatam. And Prahlad Maharaj's mood, especially in this final section of chapter 9, is very much encouraging everyone to be a Goshtyanandi, a preacher. Now, he doesn't want to go back to Godhead himself. He wants to take everyone else in the universe back to Godhead. That is the mood. So Prabhupada was in this mood of Prahlad Maharaj. That's why he was especially encouraged and inspired by the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So that is the mood of ISKCON. ISKCON is a preaching movement. It is for preachers. It is for those who want to spread Krishna consciousness. That is our mission. That is our mood. Always trying to find newer and newer ways to give Krishna consciousness to others in this material world. So, Prabhupada quotes within this purport, Yari Deka Tahari Ka Krishna Upadeshash. Amara Agaya Guruhana Tara Edesha. So if you look at Prabhupada's discussions and his lectures, and if you look all through his conversations, you'll see that, I think Shurishwara Prabhu was saying when he was here, Prabhupada quotes this verse something like 300 times, which if you analyze, yeah, in terms of Prabhupada's time with us, recorded time with us, which would have been 65 to 77, 12 years. So that means if he's speaking this verse, quoting it 300 plus times, 350 times or something, if you break that down to a weekly, it's 50 weeks in a year. So that means Prabhupada is, you know, nearly every second week he's using this verse in his conversations. And that's only what's recorded. So that means he was saying it more than this, which means it's one of his most quoted verses. So Prabhupada was very much in this mood. And especially if you look on the lectures which Prabhupada gives on the Vyasa Puja of his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada practically always, if not always, quotes this verse. So it's almost like a seminal verse. It's almost like one of the most important verses for the Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya is saying, on my order, you become a guru and you spread Krishna consciousness to everyone in your land. So this is our mission. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. You become a guru. So I only went to one of those seminars by Surishwara Prabhu. Hands up if you went to all of them. Very good. Some devotees went to all of them. My hands up if you went to most of them. Very good. Most people went to. So I got the copies of them because I only went to one. Because I couldn't go to all of them because I wasn't in the city. But I've been watching them. I've watched two of them so far, and they're profoundly affecting me. This series, actually, it's mandatory for everyone in ESKCON. Everyone should really study this series very carefully. So I'm studying it very carefully to understand, because I really want to understand Prabhupada's mood and mission. Now, Sririshwara Guru struck me in the very first lecture. He emphasizes, incredibly, that everyone in ESKCON should become a guru. Everyone becomes a spiritual master. Nandi Rupa Prabhu was speaking to him about it, questioning him and like that. But he's researched this topic very deeply. This actually is Prabhupada's mood. That all of us become gurus like that, which is a big thing. From our side, it feels like a big thing. But now that I've studied it and understood it more from Sririshwara Prabhu's presentation, I understand this is Prabhupada's mood. We have to become gurus. Now, there isn't a choice. Because the movement's not going to just spread otherwise. We can't get caught up on our own limitations and our own disqualifications at the expense of this movement not spreading. It is our duty to spread this movement. So at least we should become Shiksha Gurus. At least we should become leaders who will inspire others to become Krishna conscious. Like that. And then, if necessary, we have to take up the role or the duty or the service of becoming spiritual masters, initiating spiritual masters into cyclic succession. So this is the mood of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is what Prabhupada expected of all of us. So it is Lord Chaitanya's order. On my order, Amara Agyaya Guruhana Tara Idesh. On my order, you become the guru. Like that. Mm-hmm. But now I'm understanding it more. Actually, it is necessary. We have to do this service. We have to become qualified to do this service. It is necessary. Otherwise, the world does not have very much hope. It's going down the drain quickly. So we have to do it. Or we could sit around on the mental platform for years to come and think about why we're not qualified to do it. Or we could just do it on Prabhupada's order, on Mahaprabhu's order. Like that. Become a little qualified and do it. I'll say, so any points so far?
Just a question. So, if we say that the Gosthiyam is basically very dear to the Lord, in fact, Krishna also says those who preach my stories are very dear to me, does that make the Bhajanam less important? Or?
Not necessarily. It depends on the power of the Bhajan, though. If you look at the power of the Bhajan of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, then you cannot say it is less important. But you have to be doing a bhajan, which is going to inspire hundreds of thousands of millions of other people. Like that. You know, if your bhajan is, you know, or unless you are doing your bhajan so powerfully and sincerely that you are really absorbing yourself in Krishna consciousness and you're really advancing, then yes, your bhajan is qualified. And it has to be very powerful, and especially it should really be inspiring hundreds of thousands of others also.
One fact, they are inspiring, even though they're doing bhajanam, they're still inspiring people to actually do.
Yeah. So that's how you can measure your bhajan. Is your bhajan inspiring others?
Okay. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke this verse, Yavadeka Tarikara, he instructs Kurma Brahmana, Krihirai Krishna Mirapadnaya. Stay calm and check the whole thing constantly. So there's a big emphasis on the bhajan, and thereafter he speaks about preaching, Yavadeka Tarikara. He speaks about both of them. Laying obvious emphasis on the bhajan is in the business of Kosti. The ultimate instruction is that all bhajanandis should eventually become the Kosti anandis.
Yeah. Or you can say that we're doing both simultaneously.
Yes.
And we're bhajan anandis and Kosti anandis. Because we're doing bhajan. We're doing our sadhana, but simultaneously we're preaching, we're doing both. So it's not that we do one or the other like that, but we do.
But sometimes when you are early in the, like, when you are young, like, till, like, 50, but very actively preaching, but once your body is not really, then you can become, like that. No, not that completely bhajan. You can preach, but most of the time do bhajan like that.
Yeah.
That also.
Yeah, they will grow like that, so. Some of you are very late today.
I know.
So you have to explain yourselves after the class.
Okay.
So I understand why you're so late.
Okay.
Like that. Because it gives my heart great pain to see you come this late. So please.
Did you just ask my question?
Yeah.
So sometimes we feel that I'm not qualified to preach or the one we are discussing here. So how to find out whether it is out of a false ego or it's a genuine thing?
Whether you're qualified to preach or not. Then you simply ask your counselor, your guru, you know, the senior Vaishnavas, and they will tell you. So you don't have to be confused. You don't have to be confused about anything in spiritual life.
Yep.
If you can't work it out, just ask someone who can work it out for you, and then you'll have it worked out very quickly. Or you could waste a lot of time in your own mind and never work it out. None of us are qualified, but all of us are ordered to do it. Right? I don't feel qualified to preach, but I'm ordered to do it, so I do it. My spiritual master wrote me a letter when I was a very young devotee. He said, whenever you get an opportunity to give class, then give class. So that's what I do. I love giving class. Right? People ask, I walk, sometimes if I walk into another temple, you know, somewhere, they say, can you give class? I say, okay, I'll do it. I told you that story one time when I took rest in Mayapur at 8:30, and then 8:45 I told Krishna, my friend, he rings me, and you know, I pick up the phone, I was already half asleep, and he said, can you give class tomorrow? I said, yeah, no problem. And I was hanging up the phone. I woke up in the morning, I thought, oh my God, I have to give class in Mayapur, you know. So then, you know, I went, sat down, chanted Jai Radha Madhava, closed my eyes, and when I opened my eyes, and Hanumat Prashek Swami sitting right in front of me, you know, with his danda, you know, and then Janani Vasparu and Pagajana Guru is sitting there, yeah, my gurus, like that. I just sat there and I just thought, oh, you know, how did I get myself into this? Like that. So, but we should be enthusiastic to preach, that's the point.
Sometimes devotees, they can, like, some people are very good at preaching, but some people preaching, they done through their actions also.
Yeah, or you can assist the preachers. Like that. Just like if we have a program, then one person will give the class, then another person will cook the prasad. That's also preaching.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Making the garlands for the deities, that's also preaching. So there's many ways we could do it. It's not just giving the classes.
It's like a teamwork, like,
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Jacob.
I find there is a lot of similarity between Krishna's instruction to Arjuna, saying that whether you participate in the war or not, all the soldiers are all kind of assembled here, they are going to die. But if by participating, you can take the credit. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this movement is going to spread to every village. So whether we participate or not, it is going to spread. So therefore, by participating at least, you can take the credit.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to preach because it's not spreading very quickly, is it? 4.5 million people in Melbourne, how many of them practice Krishna consciousness? Yeah, less than 1.1%. So we're not doing very much at all. That's why we have to preach. Anything else?
Preaching is essence. In the Bhaktivinoda Sanskrit, we see most of the in from the Prabhupada extracts. And I think that Krishna and Prabhupada are preaching to preach. Prabhupada keeps repeating this. Initially, one would feel that we are not.
And even when you've been a devotee for a long time, you still don't feel qualified to preach. It's not just in the beginning. Like after many years, you don't feel qualified. But it is the order we have to do it. Otherwise, who will do it? Because he is not on the bodily concept of life. You know, no 5-year-old speaks like this. Most 50-year-olds can't speak like this. So, yeah, so he is not a material person. He is Jivan Mukta. He's a pure devotee. Like the Kumaras, they're in a 5-year-old body, but they're not 5-year-old. So Prahlad Maharaj is like that. He may be in that body, but he's not like that in his consciousness.
Normally, to become a Pakka Goshti Anandi, one has to be in association with serious Goshti Anandis. One has to be in the Sangha.
Yeah, well, he had the Sangha. He had Narada's instructions. And that lifted him to the platform of being a Paramahamsa. And now he's. Okay. Oh, my Lord. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you, who manage the affairs of the universe, in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us, who engage in your service. So the purport is very powerful and very nice. So, Yogeshwara Govinda Prabhu.
So here the words Priya Janan Anushavatam indicate that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of God, is very favorable to devotees to act according to the instructions of his own pure devotee. In other words, one must become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. If one wants to become a servant of the Lord directly, this is not as fruitful as engaging in the service of the Lord's servant. This is the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who shows us the way to become Gopi, Padat, Kamalu, Dasu, Dasu, Dasana, Dasu. One should not be proud of becoming directly the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, one must seek a pure devotee, a servant of the Lord, and engage himself in the service of such a servant. The more one becomes the servant of a servant, the more one becomes perfect in devotional service. This is also the injunction of Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam evam rajasho vidu. one can understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by parampara system. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Aindira Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vasa. Let me serve the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, and let me live with devotees. Janme Janme Hai E Abhilash. Following Narottam Das Thakur, one should aspire to be a servant of the Lord's servant, life after life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Tumi Thakur, Tamora Kukara Baliya Sanaha More. O my Lord, O Vaishnava, please consider me your dog. One must become the dog of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. For a pure devotee can deliver Krishna without difficulty. Krishna se tumara Krishna dipe para. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee. And if we take shelter of a pure devotee, he can deliver Krishna very easily. Prahlad wants to engage in the service of a devotee. And therefore he prays to Krishna, my dear Lord, kindly give me the shelter of your very dear devotee so that I may engage in the service and you may then be pleased. Mat bhakta ujab lakanka. The Lord says engaging in the service of my devotee is better than trying to engage in my devotional service. Another significant point in this verse is that by devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj does not want to benefit alone. Rather, he prays to the Lord that all of us fallen souls in this material world may, by the grace of the Lord, engage in the service of his servant and thus be delivered. The grace of the Lord is not at all difficult for the Lord to bestow, and thus Prahlad Maharaj wants to save the whole world by spreading Krishna consciousness.
Anything interesting in this purport?
The Prabhupada says that to become perfect devotee, you have to serve the devotee of the devotee of Krishna. You cannot approach directly to Krishna. And a pure devotee can easily deliver Krishna to you. And that's the way we have to follow.
Good. Anything else?
Serving a devotee who has Krishna in his heart, I think Krishna reveals himself more through a devotee than he himself sort of coming in front and showing, I suppose. So you'd probably be able to realize Krishna more by serving a pure devotee than Krishna himself directly.
Anything else?
In Bhagavad Gita, except for one instruction, Sadhguru Prabhupada, there are not many direct instructions from the law, isn't it? For the association of the devotees, there is always mam, 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 worship me, worship me, worship me. This one comes out very much explicitly to Bhagavad Gita. More in Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita definitely there is an emphasis on taking shelter from one and spiritual master, and revealing the truth because it's self realized.
Yeah, it's there. I mean, it's definitely. Yeah, in chapters like it's there as well. So it's definitely there. It's definitely emphasized by Krishna. You're right. It's not elaborated. That's definitely emphasized, at least in seed form. So we see here the Prabhupada is emphasizing that we need to become the servant of the servant of the servant. That is our moving mission. Basically, if we get the mercy of the pure devotee, then we can go back to the spiritual world. So who is the pure devotee? That is Prabhupada. He is the pure devotee. So the mood of the ISKCON devotees is simply we ourselves are engaging in spreading Prabhupada's mission, spreading ISKCON, and we're trying to bring others into that mission and trying to bring others into the, or give others the opportunity to also be involved in serving Prabhupada like that. And by Prabhupada's grace, we can all be lifted back home, back to Godhead. It is not by approaching Krishna directly. We don't have any qualification to approach Krishna directly. So how do we approach Krishna? Through Srila Prabhupada. And what was Prabhupada's emphasis? That we serve his servants. That was the system that Prabhupada set up. That his disciples will become the spiritual masters. That the temple presidents are his representatives. Even when he was physically on the planet, that was his system. You know, there was a point in time when Prabhupada more or less said to everyone, don't approach me directly, right? But you approach the temple presidents, and they will give you shelter, right? And then when Prabhupada, you know, watching this video of Shurishwara Prabhu, Prabhupada was saying in 68, like that around that time, he was saying, by 1975, I expect that my disciples will have become mature enough that they will be initiating disciples themselves. You know, so that means that after 6 or 7 years, Prabhupada was expecting us to become Diksha Gurus within ISKCON. So this was Prabhupada's vision, you know, that he wanted people to serve his servants, and then ultimately they will be connected to him, and by being connected to him, we will be connected to Krishna. So that is our system. We cannot approach Krishna directly. But with the blessings and with the goodwill and with the engagement of a qualified person, we will be engaged in Krishna service in such a way that we will then be able to go back to the spiritual world. So basically, Prabhupada is our connection to Krishna. Like that. And anyone that we are serving, means our spiritual masters in this succession, we are serving them in that we are assisting them as they assist Prabhupada in his service. So that is our mood. We are the servant of the servant of the servant. Like that. So Prabhupada is like our grandfather, and we are assisting our fathers to run the family business. And what is the family business? Prabhupada said?
Preaching.
That's our business. What do you do? Where are you from? What is your qualification? How many of you meet people in India? Where are you from? What is your qualification? What's that? Yeah. What is your gotra? I am achutya gotra, is what we say to them. Because Prabhupada said that in the Bhagavad Gita. We are achutya gotra, which means we're connected to achutya, Krishna. We're in his family. What is your gotra? We are achutya gotra. What is your qualification? I am a preacher. I am a brahmana. So this is our system. We assist those who are assisting Prabhupada. And if we do that, we will become perfect. That was Prabhupada's guarantee. Prabhupada said 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles. He said, you will go back to Godhead. He said that. That is our only hope. Like that. So that is our system. Any points?
No, what I have said is right. We have read in Bhagavad Gita that you can get a spiritual master only by the mercy of Krishna. If he is merciful, he will give you the association of the devotees.
So what is your point?
So my point is that ultimately we have to depend on Krishna for everything.
I think it's the same point.
Without him, you can't get association of the pure devotee.
And without the pure devotee, you can't get him.
Yes.
So both are true.
But in Gita, it says that you get a pure devotee by his mercy.
And by the pure devotee's mercy, you get him.
Yes, this is in Bhagavatam.
Okay, it's the same thing.
Okay.
If you want to stay up all night thinking about it, you can, but I will sleep soundly. Well, it's already worked out. Prabhupada says, Guru, or Mahaprabhu says, Guru Krishna Prasadipai. So So Guru, Krishna. Krishna gives you Guru, Guru gives you Krishna.
That's
right. So not hard to work it out.
Krishna.
Okay.
The
both
have
been said. Hacha. Oh, best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. This is a KMB one.
Yeah.
There's a KMB here somewhere, isn't it? Next few verses, I think one of them is a KMB. I think. Maybe it's just coming up. Like that. So, what is the nature of this material world? It is limited, it is temporary. And that is the power of Maya. Maya is so powerful that everyone in this material world is just fully absorbed in the material energy. And they think that there is nothing more than this. If I can just become materially happy, I will be happy. And it's very difficult to preach to the masses. They're all absorbed like that. They're just basically watching television. It's basically all they do. They just watch television. And they just get absorbed in whatever's on the television, all the stupid shows that are on the television. The Voice. The Block. The... whatever's next.
Footy Show.
Huh?
Footy Show.
The Footy Show. Yeah, it's true, actually. They just become absorbed in these things. It's that they're absorbed. Like that. So this is just all limited and temporary. It's just Maya. A devotee sees it...
All in all. That's the life is all in all.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, who's going to win the Voice? Who's going to win the Block? And who's going to win the football? That's basically what everyone's absorbed in. And it's a limited and it's temporary. Devotees don't take pleasure in these things. And we just see it for what it is. Just a little bit of light entertainment. That's all. You don't take it seriously. We don't take the football seriously, for God's sake. It's just a little game. There's a bunch of boys running around the field with a ball. Just trying to get the ball between the... That's all it is. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
No, even when you're big. Like if you come to the farm on the retreats, we play soccer.
Yeah.
Or we play football. It's just a bit of fun. We don't take it seriously. We don't all start putting on your uniforms and, get sports psychologists. Like these days, they have sports psychologists, because they take it so seriously, their minds get all, disturbed. At the end of the season, if they don't win the grand final, they have to go to have therapy. that's the way it's become now.
Fighting and envy.
Yeah.
They fight with each other.
If you look at the football 20 years ago, 30 years ago, like that, one of the most famous football players of all time is called Lee Matthews. You may have heard of him. Some of you may have heard of him. Very famous football player. So he was in the 1970s. A very famous football player. So then he was commenting on the football now compared to 30 years ago. He said, we never had sports psychologists. He said, these are all they've all become soft. He said, we were just strong. And we'd just go out there and just play the game and smash each other up and then go home and that was it. But now, after the game, you have to go to the psychologist. Are you okay? You haven't taken this too seriously, have you? Is your mind okay? Can you cope with losing the grand final? It's like he was saying, he said, this is artificial. It's just a game. It's just a bit of fun. You don't need $2 million for one season just to play the game. It's just a game. So this is the problem with the material world. They're taking it far too seriously. But as devotees, we see it for what it is. We don't take it that seriously. Right? Just like in Wall Street, in the 1930s, when the stock market crashed, people were jumping out the windows, killing themselves. Right? We don't take it that seriously. Like, if we lose our job, do we jump out the window? Wind out the window and jump out? Yeah. It's only 3 feet, so you won't hurt yourself very much. But we don't take it so seriously. If we lose our job, okay, that's you know, it may be a good thing, it may be a bad thing, but, you know, everything is ultimately Krishna's mercy. We don't take it that seriously. But the materialists, they take everything so seriously. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, let me help them. Try to wake them up. Somehow or other, wake them up. Show them there is something more than this. Show them this is temporary and limited. Dukalayam Shashvatam. And show them there is something much greater than this. If we have to take something seriously, it should be Goloka Vrindavan. Take that seriously. And even up there, they don't take everything so seriously either. They're all playing games. Like, I was reading today, or yesterday, last night, about when Krishna and Balaram went into the Tal forest to fight with Dunukasura. So the cowherd boys were in Madhuvan. Madhuvan is next door to Talavan. So the boys came to Krishna and Balaram, and they said to Balaram, they said, Krishna's always killing all the demons, but you never kill any demons, so maybe you're not so strong. So Balaram stood up. He said, I am so powerful. They said, there's one demon over there in Talavan. We want to go into the forest, but we can't go in there because the demon is there. So Balaram tied up the sash around his belt, put on his turban, wrapped his turban up, and then he marched into Talavan. Like that, to fight with Dunukasura. Like that. So it's all fun and it's all pleasure, and that's how everyone enjoys in the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And all the boys were following him in, and they're all cheering him on, Lord Balaram. And Balaram went in there and he starts shaking the tall trees, got the trees to start shaking them. Right? And then he picked up 10 of them. Like, picked them up out of the ground, big trees, and dropped them on the ground. Right? And then he picked up all those 10, put them together, and picked them up and crushed them all. And all the boys were calling out like that. And then the demons started hearing the sound. And then Dunukasura and all the demons ran over to find out what was going on. And then he killed them, picked them up by the legs, and threw them up in the trees. And like that. So it's all fun and it's all play up there. Like that. That doesn't happen in Goloka anyway. That happens in Gokul. In this world, but it's all pleasurable like that. They don't take everything so seriously. Down here, we take it all very seriously. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, it's not so serious.
I want to say something. There's a joke about the football. They say, when you play person, he seems to watch the football match, and he said that, why don't you get each one of the great balls? Why do you have to keep the one ball? Let's see. The problem here is people are becoming too legal minded, and if they don't send the parents as a sacrifice, then the whole thing will be good. The whole organization has provided to take care of the parents. We are having the same problem with the doctor there. Everybody is becoming so legal minded. For little things, they want to sue each other.
Yeah. The whole world's crazy now. The world's crazy. Just like George Harrison. So one man was on his roof because he wanted to see George Harrison. So there was a skylight on his roof. So the man, he was crawled over and he was looking through the skylight at George Harrison. His friends are in George Harrison's house playing music. So the man was looking and then he tripped and he fell through the skylight and crashed on the ground, right? And George, like, you know, saw him crash on the ground. George said, I can't remember what he said something very funny. So anyway, that guy sued George Harrison, took him to court because, you know, he said, oh, he did not make his skylight strong enough or something. He won the court case and George Harrison had to pay him money for falling through. That's how stupid the world is now. You fall into someone else's house and then they have to pay you money. And the guy was on the roof. What was he doing on his roof? This is how stupid the world is now. It doesn't even make sense.
Even now in Victoria, we are told that if some thief comes to your house to steal and he gets hurt by, you know, crashing through the window or whatever, then you have to first tell him. If you don't take care of his injuries or something like that, then you can be in trouble with the police, not him.
Yeah. And there should be equality of weapons. So if he has a knife and you have a gun, then you're in trouble.
I remember how there was a theft in my friend's house. And she lost her credit card and all those things. She lost some gold, credit card, everything. And that guy, she went and bought this iPad for that money from the credit card. And he told to deliver it some address. And by the time they came and delivered at that address, the person was doing, he said that the person has left this place some time back. So can you please, then you know, he was trying to find out, then you know, this lady was asked, the lady in his house was theft. She told police to really ask where that person, no, we can't, that's all like personal, we can't ask where he is. Then she said that if this personal means that my house is broken and he has come and taken everything from my house, is that not wrong? That is more big thing than asking that, oh, we can't ask, oh, that's all like the private like this. They're coming and breaking the house and taking everything, that is not suggestion. The laws are so funny.
Yeah, it's everything stupid now. If we just start killing a lot of them, it'll make everything a lot easier. Did you murder this person? Yes. That's it. Next. Right. Did you murder this person? Yes. Next. Right. Then just kill them. So, and then you'll see everything will become a little bit more controlled. That's the system. That's Manu's system. Not that one. Anyway. Okay. My dear Lord, Nisring Hadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, that they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mama Brata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. So Prabhupada explains that a pure devotee is happy in any situation in life, whether it is in heaven or in hell. That is the nature of a pure devotee. In other words, we just want to preach. We don't mind if we're in heaven or if we're in hell, as long as we're doing service to Krishna, as long as we're preaching Krishna consciousness, then we're happy wherever it is. I remember in my brahmacharis, before this temple had big congregation, early 90s, we had to go to Africa to sell Hong Kong oil paintings to help to run the temple. So we were in Tanzania, Zambia. These places are like hell in Africa. So much poverty, so much danger. Yeah, our lives were in danger. You know, Tridish Prabhu, Atul Krishna Prabhu, they held up with knives. You know, people came with them, and you know, all sorts of things took place like that. And then sometimes we're selling paintings in the Seychelles, which are like tropical islands off the coast of Africa, like heavenly planets. So sometimes we're in heaven, sometimes we're in hell. But we were just focused on selling paintings to run the temple, send money back to pay for a Radha Balabha for their service like that. So devotees, sometimes we're in heaven, sometimes we're in hell, but we don't get so distracted by those things. Our main focus is to preach Krishna consciousness and to serve Krishna. And that is our happiness. And wherever Krishna puts us, that's up to him. Okay. There's nothing in this material world so great anyway. Prabhupada said basically, he said there's only one place in this material world where there's a little happiness. He said that is Hawaii. Okay. Even Hawaii is not so good. They have problems there all the time. If you read the news, there's always problems.
So why is Hawaii so good?
Because it's beautiful. Oh, you go to Fiji. Like, it's beautiful, right? But then it gets hit by cyclones, like that, you know. Tridish is up in Moolumba. Yeah, it's like Moolumba. Moolumba is beautiful as well, but then it floods half the time. There's always problems. Same as in Fiji. It's beautiful there, but then every second year there's a coup. You know, they take over the government every second year. Then the year after that, there's always a cyclone. And
I remember we had seven hurricanes in about 4 months.
Yeah, this is paradise. So interesting, Prabhupada says, in the purport, Prabhupada says, the devotees stay in the busiest part of the world to preach. We stay where the people are. That is Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur's the word
was it?
Mood.
Yeah, mood, but his example. Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur would always open the temples in the busiest parts of the city. Bagh Bazaar in Calcutta, they built a big temple like that. So that was the mood. And Prabhupada followed the mood of his Guru Maharaj. He went to all the big cities of the world, and right in the middle of those cities, he established big temples like that. So that is our system. Not that we go to have some ashram off in the forest somewhere, but that where no one ever comes. What's the point? We should be right in the center of the city, where all the people are. Right? And then when they all become Krishna conscious, then we're going to move back to the farms. Because we don't want to live in cities, we want to live in the farms. But we have to preach in the cities. But then we bring people to live back to the natural environments. Like that. That is taking some time. It's very slow. It's taking forever, practically. But we still have a lot of preaching to do. It will take time. So we have to stay in the cities and we have to preach. That's the only reason we're in the cities. Otherwise, why would you stay in the city? There's no quality of life here. Everything's concrete. It's not pleasant. It's not nice. Like that. Some people like it though. Just like I was having prasadam over at Savannah's place, and then his sister was there. I said, not his sister, his wife's sister. What's the wife's name? Yeah, Gopi. So then her sister was there. And she was going back to Mumbai. So I said, do you like it here or do you like it in Mumbai? She said, I like Mumbai. I said, why do you like Mumbai? She said, because there's always noise. People get used to it in Kali Yuga. They like it. See, I can sleep better there. Yeah, there's more noise, so I can sleep better. It doesn't make sense to me, but it's the
natural. Concrete is everywhere. Even in Vrindavan, you have concrete. Mayapur, you have concrete. The next 5-10 years, everything changes so rapidly that you won't find the forest or swamp there anywhere.
Yeah. Our place doesn't have so much concrete. We are showing the example. But if you see what Prabhupada wrote, he didn't about the farms, about the rural areas, he didn't write about concrete. That wasn't his vision for those places. He said everything should be made from earth. Okay, he says that. Okay. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Griha Medis, this is a very famous verse. Griha Medis, so-called Grihasthas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The Kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of Brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are Dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. So why is the whole world overwhelmed by sex life? It is everywhere at the moment. Basically, it is the focal point for the whole of humanity at this point in time. Every advertisement, every television show, everything is absorbed in sex life, basically. You just look at modern media, and modern society, you can't even turn on the internet with something in the corner. You know, which is advertising women or sex life or something like that. Everything. It is insidious. It's just in every single molecule of the material energy at this point in time in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada said it's because of a lack of education and culture. Because in a culture, society is not emphasized. Just like we're segregating the sexes. There's a reason why we segregate the sexes. There's a reason why the women cover their bodies. They're beautiful. Right? We're not like the Muslim religion, which is very artificial, where they wear the burqa, black, wear a black coat. You know, the woman, imagine if all the Mataji's walked into the temple wearing a big black coat, just with their eyes like this, they walked in like, the kirtans, big black coat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's weird. It's very strange. Very artificial. Yeah. Why do the Muslim women have to dress like this? Because the Muslim men are lusty.
Yeah.
That's why.
It's not that even though because there were not many women in the Middle East, that if somebody was married, and he received the heat in his wife, they say, okay, you cover your face and he will not be attracted to you.
Yeah.
Because of the shortage of women, they used to take a lot of women from India and to Iran. There was no women, you know. So that was it.
Yeah. So basically it's because of the lusty man. That's the point. That's why they dress the women like this. I know because I used to work, before I was a devotee, I worked for some Muslim men and they were very lusty. Right? And they treated the women like they're very suppressed and oppressed.
Mm.
Like that. They're very lusty men, very low class. Like that. So the women, they cover their bodies with saris like that, but their beauty is still there. They can still dress colorfully, and they can dress in such a way they feel attractive and beautiful, which is natural for them. But it's not based on complete subjugation or trying to attract the opposite sex. Yeah, because the sari covers the body like that. So it is the right balance. So the Vedic culture is correct. It's the right balance. Not too much sense gratification, not too much renunciation. That's the right balance. So basically, as Prabhupada says, this is why there is a absorption in sex life in Kali Yuga, because people, they lack education, they lack culture. They're educated that yes, sex life is the main object of life, and culturally everything supports that. You know, what do we all do in summer in Australia? Right? Take off all your clothes and go to the beach so everyone can see you. Right? Wear as little as possible. Right? That is our culture. And what is our education? Look at the education system. The high schools, you know, 2 weeks ago, they had to arrest 4 15- and 16-year-old students who were taking photos of each other without clothes on and then sending it to all the other students in the school like that. So this is, you know, it's a massive problem in the school systems at the moment, pornography and all these things. Massive problem. Even my niece and nephew, my nephew's only 10 years old, we had to do some, you know, he was implicated. Some of the boys at school were showing him pornography. Only 10 years old. You know, and then we had to, like, you know, speak to him about it and say, you know, this is not good, and educate him. So it is lacking in society these days. There's no education. And that's why the whole society has become overwhelmed with sex life. And what does Prahlad Maharaj say about sex life?
Rubbing of two hands.
It's just like the rubbing of the hands. Right? It's just, it's not an important thing. And then Prabhupada famously, because this is a very famous verse,
yeah.
Prabhupada famously quotes Jamunacharya.
Yeah.
Jamunacharya says, yeah, when I think, because he was a king, Prabhupada says he was a king.
Mm.
He maybe had many wives, so had much opportunity for sex.
He himself was engaged in self-gratification before, but after he became devotee, experienced the higher
faith,
and never
he thought of sex. Then he spits. And one time, Prabhupada was telling this verse, quoting this verse, Prabhupada said in disgust, he would curl his lips and spit. And then Prabhupada spat on the table. Just to emphasize the point. So when you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, you'll just lose your attraction. Srila Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, chapter 33, I think, when in those chapters about the Rasa Lila, Prabhupada says, how do we know if we're advancing in Krishna consciousness? Because our attraction to Krishna is becoming more, and our attraction to Maya is becoming less. So this is how we know we're advancing. When sex life becomes unattractive to us, that's how we know we're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Practically. How do you know practically if you're advancing? Some devotees asked me this question today. How do I know if I'm advancing? I said different things. But actually here, Prabhupada is saying, and Prahlad Maharaj is saying, when sex life becomes unattractive to you, then you know you're becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. One time a reporter said to Prabhupada, are you self-realized? And Prabhupada said, yes. They said, what is the proof? The Prabhupada said, I can be in a room of naked women and I am not attracted, but you cannot. Like that. So that is self-realization. No attraction to sex life.
Just now,
you
said you were saying that we hear about so much sex education happening in schools nowadays, even in primary school itself. But he said, what is this sex education? He said, sex education is not how to teach children how to have sex, but it is how to stop sex. That is what should be taught in sex education. But, you know, that is not taught. But, you know, all other means are taught to children about sex education. you are saying that he has very much Prabhupada mood, you are saying it so strongly that you know, they should teach them to stop sex life, not to add and enjoy safely.
Yeah, because they have sex education in the schools. So when Prabhupada came to the West, he said, you don't need to educate someone to have sex. He said, everyone can work it out. You just put a boy and a girl together, they'll work it out. You know, you don't have to give them like a book, or this is what you do. You know. And Srila Prabhupada said, even the animals can work it out. You have to go to the dogs, okay, you two should have sex now. This is how you do it, like that. You know, to educate someone. The Prabhupada said, what is this sex education? You don't need to educate someone about sex. They're just trying to educate him on about illicit sex. That's all. You know, have sex but don't get pregnant. That's their, that's the, what they're trying to do. So that's demoniac culture. That's a Suric culture. That's all. Okay. Or Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are 10 prescribed methods on the path to liberation. To remain silent. Not to speak to anyone. To observe vows. To amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge. To undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Varna Ashram Dham, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods of liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. So, by performing devotional service, we get the benefits of all of those other processes. We don't have to perform mourna vras. Although sometimes it would be good if some people did perform mourna vras. But at least, mourna vras for us means we only speak about Krishna. Or at least for devotees, it's good if you do mourna vrat at least up until breakfast time or something like that. That's good. Mourna vrat means don't speak except things which are directly about Krishna. You know, chanting your rounds, doing kirtan, and then speaking some Bhagavatam or whatever you're discussing. And then at breakfast time, then you can start to speak a little bit more in a casual way. No, but sometimes, you know, at the farm, sometimes my wife and I, we do like that. You know, up until breakfast, then we don't speak anything which is not directly Krishna conscious. And after that, then we'll... Okay. So at least the way can do some sort of mourna vrata. I think Burujapuru did that on the men's retreat a few years back. I think we had to do mourna vrata up until breakfast time. We weren't allowed to speak anything which was not related to Krishna up until that. No. We don't do anything artificial. Not that. But, Prabhupada says... all those 10 items which are mentioned, we will get all the benefit of them just by doing devotional service. We don't have to do any extra austerity or extra mourna vrat or any extra thing. You just do devotional service, you get the benefit of everything. So that's what we concentrate on. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and the effect. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, the fire, sky, and water. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and the false ego. Indeed, you are everything subtle and gross. The material elements and anything expressed either by the words or by the mind are nothing but you. Neither the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajogun, and tamogun, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship, for they are all subjected to birth and annihilation. Considering this, the spiritually advanced have taken to devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study.
Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. Interesting, as Prabhupada says in the purport, the members of ISKCON should engage in practical devotional service. We should do something practical, not just study the books, but do some practical service. We should study the Bhakti Shastras. We should get our Bhakti Shastri degree, our Bhakti Vaibhav degree, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. We should get these degrees, and we should do some practical service to spread ISKCON. Don't just read books all day. That's what Prabhupada is saying. We're not jnanis. We're bhaktas. Bhaktas means we do something practical for Krishna. Okay. Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshipping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahamsas? The great saint Narada said, thus Lord Nrisimhadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, he spoke as follows. The Supreme Personality of God said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows. For I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Narad Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras, who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. So this is the mood of a pure devotee. A pure devotee does not ask something from Krishna. After we finish our service, we don't ask at the end of our service, Krishna, now you give me this, you give me this, and you give me that. We simply do our service for Krishna's pleasure. That is the mood of the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki.